Hallelujah. The book of Isaiah, chapter 30. Glory to God. I'm going to do a little skipping through here. In verse 1, woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel, but not of me. So obviously, if you don't take counsel of him, you're considered rebellious. Amen? Who devise plans, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Because you know, if you don't take counsel from the Lord, and you do it your own way, you're adding sin unto sin. There's just no doubt about it. In fact, rejecting counsel of the Lord is sin automatically. Who walk to go down to Egypt. Egypt represents the world. They have not asked my advice to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh or of the world, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. The shadow represents demonic power. Everybody with me? The shadow represents the shadow. Who's the shadow of the world?
Satan.
Satan. Amen? Good. Now, now go write it before them on the tablet and note it on the scroll for time to come, forever and ever. That this is a rebellious people, lying children. Children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, do not see. Do you know why? Because they don't want to hear the truth. And to the prophets, do not prophesy to us what? Right things. Speak to us smooth things and prophesy deceits. They wanted the prophets to lie. They didn't want to hear that there was things going to happen. They didn't want to hear. Remember, the Lord rebuked them, saying that the prophets were lying, saying, peace, peace, peace to my children, when there wasn't going to be peace. He says, get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. They didn't even want to have a fellowship with the Lord. They said they did, but they didn't want it because they were afraid of getting the right answer. You and I must be careful of this all the time. One thing we do not want to be labeled as before God Almighty is a rebellious child. There's a difference between a kid and a goat. I mean, a kid and a child. And there's a difference between a goat and a sheep. They're from the same family, you know that. But one is rebellious, and one lays his life down. Does everybody understand that? And what God is looking for is one who is going to lay his life down. And right now there is judgment in the house of God. God is actually not, I don't want to say separating the goat and the sheep, but he's revealing them and hoping that he'll cause jealousy on the goat to want to become a sheep. Does everybody get it? Okay. You know, we're starting off this new year. I mean, to the world, they celebrate a new year. For me and you, every day is a new year. Those are just numbers that are counted. But if you and I are in the Spirit, we know that these numbers that are counted have reasons and purposes. Because every day is counted away, knows that we're getting closer and closer to going home.
Amen.
We don't fear about going home. We look forward to going home. That's a wonderful thing about being a child. Now, a sheep is one who's willing to lay down his life because he's not concerned about the things of the world. But a goat will buck and rebel against the things of God because he's concerned about the things of the world. And we know that the ruler of the world is Satan. So we see here that this spoken and prophesied by Isaiah was so important for this time right now. You know, when the Lord put on my heart, first of all, let me bring you some encouragement. It's going to be one of the greatest years for the church. The church is going to exceed in a great and exceedingly powerful way. She's going to move in such a great way. It's powerful. You know, you and I don't even see what's going on in the rest of the world, and thousands and thousands and thousands of people are being saved every day. Thousands. And of course, there's thousands that are being lost, and many are falling from the faith and so forth. Remember, Jesus said, I came to rescue the lost. One that was lost means he was found once. And he's gone away. Does everybody understand that? Because he went to go to the Jews first, didn't he? Well, they knew about God, didn't they? In fact, the Lord is expressing to us through His Spirit is come back to your first love and do the first works that I called you to do. He's trying to bring order back in His body because it's chaos. That's why He's going to begin to reveal the goats and the sheep more and more and more. It's happening. Let me share something with you. Darkness must increase in the world so that your light can shine. If you're not going through stuff, how's anybody going to know about God?
Amen?
Come on. Because he's the supernatural. If somebody's just watching you live a normal life and going through all the things and you're working hard and you're saving money and you're doing this and you're doing that, that's not glory to God. That's a normal life. But we must allow God to, for people, we must allow God to move through us and for us in the supernatural so that others can see signs and wonders because they've had enough tracks. And that's what this next move is. More signs and wonders. God's church is going to take a great leap. But the goats are going to get exposed in a great way. You're going to find that God is going to begin to reveal the wickedness in many of the shepherds. You're going to find that some of them are out there, man. You're going to find that some of them have not fulfilled what God has asked to do. And they're doing it now in their own strength. Does everybody understand that? The Bible says that things are going to burn at the end, aren't they? And what was built on straw and finances and gold and silver and whatever and wood is going to burn. But what was built by the Spirit, hello, is going to stay. So it's very important for me and you to get into that place and be willing to die. You know, I had a dream a while back. Oh, it's probably about 2 years ago. I found myself riding on a horse on the ocean. And I came up next to a U.S. naval destroyer and then another ship next to it, and it had a hole in the side. And I rode up on the horse, and I bumped that hole. Don't ask me how I did it. But I bent back the steel on the hole and closed up the steel. And the Lord said to me, will you die for me? And I said, yes, Lord. And the horse took off riding on the ocean. And you know where I headed? Iraq. I ran in that area. And it began to rain oil. And I began to suffocate because of the oil. And he said, would you die for me? And I said, yes. And I woke up. I wasn't sure exactly what it was, but I believe that because of what's going on right now, and we know that what had happened when the ship, one of our ships was bombed and soldiers were killed and so forth, I believe that was all a part of it. And I believe it's the responsibility of the body of Christ to bring the healing. I believe it's the responsibility of the body of Christ to do the intercession in war. Does everybody understand that? It is the responsibility of the body of Christ to do these things. What you and I do in warfare determines what our country is going to do in the natural. I believe that the oil representation was also a representation of chemical warfare. But we'll see. Hallelujah. But you got to understand something. You and I were not counted for wrath.
Amen.
The world is going to shake. There's going to be a great shaking in this next year. And it's going to build up more and more and more. In other words, what I explained before, that you and I don't see all the things that are really happening. You and I don't really comprehend how much the pouring out of God's Spirit is really happening. But it's happening in a great way. A great way, everywhere. People are getting visitations from the Lord. People everywhere, all over the world. People who've never known Jesus, and He's appearing to them because the gospel can't get to them. He's out doing preaching Himself. Hallelujah. So it's going to be a great year and a great jump, great advancement for the body of Christ, but it's going to be a rough year for the world. Though they think they are prospering, they are actually declining. It's getting worse. And it must. Because the greatest weapon Satan has is deception. Deception. Amen? Deception. Would you turn to Matthew 24, please? Oh, hallelujah. In verse 3, now they were sitting on the Mount of Olives, and we know that Jesus is going to return to the same mount that he was sitting on here. Hallelujah. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us when these things will be. And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Two things they asked. A sign of his coming and the end of the age. And Jesus said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. So we know that the greatest weapon is what? Deception. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and I will and will deceive many. And now you got to understand, he's not just talking about the Christ. He's talking about believers that are proclaiming to be Christians. He says, and you will hear wars and rumors of wars. Is that happening? Amen. See that you are not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation. That means ethnic group. There is more racism now than there was before. It's phenomenal. And it's not just about black and white. Now you got racism and religion. You've got even, you even have racism in employment. Everything. Now you've got gay rights. You've got this. Now they call that racism. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not about color or creed or culture. It's about belief now. They're calling racism. And kingdom against kingdom. And that means the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. Well, you know what? You and I are in a comfort zone. But you go around the world and find out what's happening, because there's much famine. There's many earthquakes. There's much pestilence. The number one killer right now, we know, is sin. Amen. But the number one killer is sexually transmitted diseases. That's the number one killer in the world. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. That's happening right now, isn't it? There's such a stirring for hatred of Christianity. It's phenomenal. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, because lawlessness represents going back under the world. And the love for others will grow cold, because their concern will be wealth, power, fame, success. But he who endures to the end shall be what? Turn to 2 Corinthians 11. Oh, to God be the glory. And Paul writes to the church of Corinth, chapter 11 and verse 12. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in things of which they boast. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Wow. So in other words, hey, look it. The Bible says many will fall from the faith, won't it, in the latter times. That means that individual that was a believer has fallen from the faith and has actually been turned now into a minister of righteousness, but he's actually a minister of Satan. Does everybody understand that? Many will fall from the faith, taking heed to deceiving and seducing spirits and doctrines of... Remember, Paul warned us, he said, many will preach this gospel, but they will not preach the same Jesus. They will come against dignitaries, they'll speak against them. They'll say unruly things. They will come against the move of the Spirit because they don't have the Spirit. Anyone who's not in the Spirit can't accept the things of the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
They'll be considered, as they begin to speak, peace, peace, peace. Oh, Jesus is going to take care of everything. Jesus is okay. Look at that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because they're not warring. They have no idea. The devil wants to deceive them to keep them out of the war so they become a goat instead of a sheep. And they will be revealed because behind closed doors they can't help themselves but practice lawlessness. They can't help it because without the Spirit and without the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you cannot prevent yourself from doing lawlessness. Oh, hallelujah. Tonight, hallelujah. And to the church, the Lord says in verse 4, do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. For your Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. The Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you were refused, says your God. For a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. For this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so I have sworn that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you. O you afflicted one, tossed with tempest and not comfort. Behold, I lay your stones with colorful gems and lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of rubies and your gates of crystal. Sounds like our new home. And all your walls of precious stones. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear. I want you to understand something. He says that afflicted ones are ones that are bound by fear. And from terror, for it shall not come near you. Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. Behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument of his work, and I have created the spoiler to destroy. Everybody read this with me. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. And I truly believe that this is going to be the voice of the church in this coming year. This is what you and I will be proclaiming. That no weapon formed against us shall prosper. It says, this is the heritage of the what? Servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. This is what you and I are to be expressing on a daily basis for this next year. This is the word of the Lord that's going forth, that no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. But if you don't believe it, it will take you out. No weapon, say it with me, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against me in judgment will be condemned. This is your word for the next year. Hello? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against me in judgment shall be condemned. In Revelation to this, it means whatever rises against you, that wickedness is going to be revealed in that person. Is everybody with me? Now it says that this is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord. So if an individual is out of position and not a servant of the Lord, he's got no right to say it. In fact, he can say it and he's going to not overcome until the individual gets right. Does everybody understand that? In other words, you can't speak the word of the Lord and be out of place. You must speak the word of the Lord and be in position. That's why people get all messed up. Then they walk away from God. Because they're not in position. They're not right with God. They're trying to proclaim the word of God and they're not right with God. They're doing things and they're practicing lawlessness behind closed doors. But this is a part to the body of Christ. God is saying to His church, no weapon formed against you will prosper. No weapon formed against us is going to prosper. But it's important that you and I are in position because there are weapons of evil. And if you're not in position, those weapons of evil will move you out. And you will bring shame to the name of the Lord instead of bringing glory to His name, because that's our responsibility. So it's important that we get in the Spirit, that we deny ourselves, and that we don't fall under the shadow of Pharaoh, which is the world and the demonic forces. Amen? Amen? It's not going to get easier. Amen. It's going to get harder. Temptation is going to hit you in every area. But you have the right to say as a servant of the Lord, no weapon formed against me can prosper. It doesn't mean you won't be afflicted. It means it won't wipe you out. Does everybody understand that? Oh, to God be the glory. Now let me share something with you. That's a weapon of fear. Do you understand that? It's a weapon of evil. And we know that fear is one of the greatest grippers that the devil uses against us. Fear is faith for the flesh. Come on, write it down. Fear is faith for the flesh. Fear causes pain and affliction. In Romans 10:17 it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the what?
Word of God.
The word of God. So by hearing the voice of God, right, it causes peace, joy, and righteousness. Does everybody understand that? But fear causes pain and affliction. Amen? But if you're in the Spirit and you're hearing the voice of God, you're going to walk in peace, joy, and righteousness. Does everybody understand that? This lets you know where you're at. The Bible says don't worry about tomorrow. My goodness. I do a lot of counseling. So many times people come in, yeah, man, I need to do about this for tomorrow because I got to do this and then 3 weeks from now we're going to wrap. What are you worried about tomorrow for? You might not even be here tomorrow. Then you don't have to worry about nothing. Right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with preparing. Do you understand that? But man, don't let fear grip you about it. Amen. You know, don't get in bondage and be so caught up in looking about tomorrow when your eyes are supposed to be on the Lord now. Amen. The God of now. Amen. Remember, the devil pushes, the Spirit leads. Hello?
Amen.
That's why people get pushed into doing something they're not supposed to.
Amen?
Amen? Amen. And the devil starts pushing you, man, you just drop and say, no way. No weapon formed against me can prosper.
Amen.
So in Romans 10:17 it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, which causes peace, joy, and righteousness. Come on, turn to 1 Timothy 4 so you can read this with me. Hallelujah. In verse 1, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Would you read this with me, please? Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Wow. Wow. Are we in the latter days?
Amen.
Amen. Do we fight flesh and blood? No. It's amazing in so many groups of believers who have forsaken the thought that they don't fight flesh, they don't fight powers of darkness. Many of them will tell you the devil ain't got nothing on them. Of course not. They're in them. And they've gripped them with fear, doubt, unbelief, gossip, criticism, and the move against the Spirit. Because every demon is an antichrist. Do you understand that? Antichrist means comes against the move of the Spirit. But they won't comprehend it until they get in the Spirit. That's why you and I must continue to pray for the pouring out of the Spirit of the Lord and unity in the Spirit of the body of Christ, melting walls of denominations. Because there is no denominations in the body of Christ, supposedly. But there is, isn't there? But there isn't any in the Bible. It's unscriptural. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. People are trying to promote their congregation instead of Christ.
Amen.
Hi, I'm a such and such. I thought you were a Christian. Oh yeah, I'm that second. What's your denomination? Who's your God? Your denomination or your king? See, there's a difference. All this is about to start getting revealed more and more and more. Watch this year. The goats and the sheep are going to start to be exposed. Righteousness will gain more righteousness, and wicked will get more wicked. There must be a climax before the return of the Lord. Before the body of Christ can be removed from this planet, there must be a climax of wickedness and righteousness. It must escalate, and this year it's going to escalate in a great way. Well, if wickedness is going to escalate in a great way, that means the body of Christ is going to escalate in a great way. Does everybody understand that? You and I are going to begin to prosper. You and I, the body of Christ is going to start to form itself in such beauty of Christ himself. But those that are the goats are going to be exposed. It doesn't mean they're going to be tossed out. It means they're going to have the opportunity to repent. Amen? Because God desires no one be lost.
Amen.
No one be lost. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go further. In Psalms 34. You know, many are going to definitely fall from the faith, and one of the reasons they're going to fall from the faith is because of the afflictions of fear. Is everybody with me? They're going to fall from the faith because of the afflictions of fear. Great fear. Psalm 34. But praise God, no weapon formed, no fear formed against me can prosper. Oh, you're going to need to use that constantly because you're going to see it happen all around you. And you're going to be able to express that no weapon formed against you will prosper. And you will stand. Psalm 34. In verse 19. Read it with me. Ooh, whoa, wait a minute. Whoa, whoa. Ooh, cool. 17. Come on, read it with me. The righteous cry out, and the Lord what? Hears. And delivers them out of all their what? It didn't say that we wouldn't have troubles. It's okay to have troubles. How else is he going to be glorified? The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Come on, read it with me. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Wow. He delivers him out of them all. He guards all of his bones and not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked. Now check that out. Evil shall slay the wicked. It means they're going to kill themselves. Does everybody understand that? And those who hate the righteous shall be what? Condemned. The Lord redeems the what? Soul of his servants. And none of those who trust in him shall be what? Condemned. Ashamed. Judged. Amen? Praise God. So many are the afflictions of the righteous. And the Lord delivers us out of all of them. Why? Because no weapon formed against you can prosper. Do you understand that? That is what you and I must hold on to in such a great way. No sickness towards you can prosper. No poverty towards you can prosper. No sorrow, no fear, no condemnation. None of those things. Those things are all known as weapons of evil. But we have a great weapon. We have the Word of the living God. Hallelujah. By the Spirit of God. We have the blood. We have his name. And no weapon formed against us will prosper as long as you're in position.
Amen.
Amen? Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4. Glory to God. Everybody all right? Would you read verse 15 with me? For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Hello. Everybody get it? Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, hello, light affliction, which is but for a moment, even though it seems like a rough affliction forever, but it says, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. So you and I are going to have light afflictions for a moment. Unfortunately, in God's eyes, a moment could be for a little while in our carnal. Amen? It's like, oh man, when is this going to end? But remember, it can be working for you, not against you. Why? Because no weapon formed against us will prosper. Has everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 10. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and verse 3. Read it with me, please. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Man, that's one of the things the devil wants us to always do. He always wants us to war in the flesh. For the weapons, oh. Now, the Bible says no weapon formed against us is going to prosper, right? So that means you and I have weapons also, don't we? So if there are evil weapons, there are righteous weapons. Okay. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. And he explains to us where they're coming. Casting down arguments or lies and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of the truth of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all the lies or disobedience when your obedience or truth is fulfilled in you. Does everybody understand that? How can you attack lies if you don't know truth? You can't. Then you can't express it. No weapon formed against you will prosper if you're bound by a lie. It's difficult, isn't it? So we understand here that people get so caught up in tangible in the world that they lose sight that our fight is spiritual. And in fact, they lose sight that the fight is in the mind, isn't it? Isn't that where the attack is at?
Yeah.
That's why you and I must express that no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. Because what comes out of your mouth is light. And the lies are a representation of darkness and those darts that are coming at you. No sickness formed against me will prosper. No fear formed against me will prosper. Do you understand? You're now taking the word that says weapons. Weapons are known as evil weapons. We're taking those and we're expressing that whatever is somebody spoken. You know how many times when I'm praying for someone, the Lord says to me, break everything that's been spoken over that person's life. You know, it's amazing in how I've seen people come to services and get touched by God and get refreshed and everything go, whoa. And they go somewhere to go test something and other things have been spoken into them and they've gone back to the bondage of fear or gone back to the some kind of a bondage. And it's like, you know why? Because the darts have penetrated. They're putting out the light. The devil comes to steal, doesn't he? To destroy. Does anybody understand that? That's why he said, don't be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit daily. It's our responsibility to be filled with God's Spirit, to get in God's presence. And that's the difference between people always wanting the Word or wanting God's presence. Amen. Without wanting God's presence, the Word isn't going to feed you anyway. Amen. Does everybody understand that? So when you and I get hungry in God's presence, and we walk, why? Because we just drank. Now we want to eat. Glory to God. Okay. Hallelujah. And being ready to what? Punish all lies or disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look at things according to the outward appearance? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so we are what? Christ. Now you got to understand, the devil doesn't want you to know who you are, right? He's going to always try and disqualify you. So here you and I can say that no weapon formed against us. In other words, what we're doing is we're removing the weapons of evil. No fear formed against me can prosper. No anxiety formed against me can prosper. No anger formed against me can prosper. No rage formed against me can prosper. Do you understand that? See, what happens is because we begin to harbor some of these things. Hello? We begin to harbor, and we don't even realize it. Hey, you can forgive someone and still hate them. Hello? And you know what that means? You're harboring rage. And you know what? It's allowing an unruly presence there. And it's going to come out in your flesh through sickness, disease, something. See, your flesh is going to respond to the things that are harbored. And I'll explain that in a minute. Go to Philippians 4. No. Go to Romans 12. Romans 12. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12. Real quick verse. In verse 2, what does it say? Do not be conformed to this world. Wow. In other words, don't get sucked up in the Pharaoh's shadow. Don't get sucked up in Egypt. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't be greedy. Hello? Don't lust the things of the world. Don't get conformed. Now, being conformed to the world, he's saying, listen, you were already transformed, and why do you want to be conformed back to the world again? But be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the will of God is going to be expressed through me and you, isn't it? Amen? So we need to renew our mind. No weapon formed against my mind can prosper. That is going to be the major words that you and I are going to speak this next coming year, because we're going to see so much evil weapons begin to assault and prosper in other areas. But no weapon formed against me and you is going to prosper. Hallelujah. Why? Because our minds have been renewed in Christ. In other words, we have dominion over the carnal mind. Now the carnal mind is always going to come against the things of God, isn't it? We still fight with that, don't we? Amen? We still fight with that. But that's okay. It doesn't mean it's not going to come against you. It means you have dominion over it. Philippians chapter 4. In verse 6, read it with me, please. Be anxious for nothing. Hold on. Be what?
Anxious for nothing.
So you think anxiety is a form of anxiousness? Amen. Praise God. So no anxiety formed against us will prosper. The I gotta do spirit, you know. Be anxious for nothing. You know, when the Lord gave me that this morning and showed me as I was praying this morning about some stuff or what to do, I was like, okay. I mean, hey, if it's daddy, it's going to happen, right? I mean, that's all it's to it. But if you have a relationship where you know you can trust, and the reason why people are anxious is because they can't trust God. They want to run ahead of God. They want to build the house of God, but God isn't going to let them, because the only way the house of God can be built is through them. Hello? God doesn't build the house. He builds it through us. Man doesn't build the house. God builds the house. He builds it through man. Man does not build the house. David wanted to, and God said no. Amen? Because his hands were unclean. Be anxious for nothing but what? And everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the what?
Peace
of God. Here we go again, right? Which surpasses all understanding. Hello. You know why it surpasses all understanding? Because you have a relationship. And you don't need to understand every little stinking thing.
Amen.
Does everybody get it? Can you imagine when the Lord showed me about the stove this morning? If I'd have said, hold on a minute. When, where, how much? Is it for today, tomorrow, or yesterday? Who do I go? Where do I see? What? Do you understand? I get to spend more time asking him a gazillion questions and try to figure out how it worked, if the light bulb was working inside before I got it. I mean, man, I could have gone in great detail, which would have lost my peace. And I would have tried out to figure out everything. You know, I would have done, opened the door for the voice of the stranger to push me right out of position. My prayer time would have quit. I've been on the phone seeking every oven place in the city. Has somebody got it? Looking for a stove of what I saw. But what did I do? I gave it to God. And I continued back in my prayer. If it's daddy, there's no problem. I had peace because I know I can trust him. Does everybody understand that? Hey, we're all going to flumber a little bit. You know what I'm saying? We're all going to blow it a little bit. We're still flesh creatures. Occasionally. Amen? We can sometimes we get swayed by our brothers and sisters. Hey, man, why don't you do this? You're right. I should. The next thing you know, you're anxious for everything. But no weapon formed against you will prosper. Amen? Why? Here we go back to the peace of God. Why? Remember we just said, hey, faith brings peace, joy, and righteousness. Right? And fear brings what? Affliction and pain. Anxiety, torment. When? How? Where? Come on, is everybody all right?
Amen.
But you know what? When that begins to happen, you have a right to say, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. No anxiety, no fear. You have a choice to cut it right off and rip it out by the root. But you better acknowledge it and see it.
Amen?
Because if you don't, it'll suck you right in. Colossians 3. Oh, hallelujah. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that speaks judgment upon me is going to be condemned. Hallelujah. You know, because we minister in the jail a lot, and because some of the guys are ignorant. I mean, they're ignorant of the truth of the... I don't mean literally ignorant. I mean, they're ignorant of the truth of the Word. Even though they've carried the Bible around with them a long time, and they've never understood it. So they speak against the preaching of the Spirit. And I warned them. And something usually always happens. It's going to happen because what you sow is what you reap. I warned them ahead of time. Listen, just because you don't understand it doesn't mean that it's evil. Oh man, I don't understand about this tongue stuff. Well, get baptized in the Holy Ghost and you will. Well, I don't know about the Spirit. Yeah, shut up. Get filled with the Holy Ghost and you've got nothing to worry about. Far be it that we should be afraid of what God wants to give us. You know what I'm saying? People fight more against the Holy Ghost than they do the demons. And then when they fight against the Holy Ghost, the demons have their access to them. Chapter 1, Colossians 3. If then you... Oh. What did I say?
Chapter 1 in Colossians.
Praise God. Chapter 3 in verse 1 in Colossians. Chapter 3, please. Listen, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Come on, read it with me. Verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. So we need to what? Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Hello? That's what spiritual gifts are, aren't they? We want to set our minds on the things above.
Amen.
God's will, not ours.
Amen.
For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, back up. Verse 4. Read this again, slowly. When Christ, who is our life. Hello? Who is what?
Our life.
Who is what?
Our life.
Appears. Well, you know that your life is going to appear?
Amen.
Then you also will appear with him in glory. Why? Because he's our life. That means we must appear with him. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. How are you going to do that? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Like what? Fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Hello? No fornication, no arrow, no thought of fornication shall prosper. Verse 6, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. So what is he saying? You can become a son of righteousness or a son of disobedience. You can get moved right out of position, right? In which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these things. What's the number one?
Anger.
Say that again.
Anger.
Ooh, anger is a big one. Wrath, that kind of like follows anger, doesn't it?
Amen.
Malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Whoa. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with its deeds, and put on the new man who is renewed in the what?
Knowledge
of the truth, according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free. But Christ is all and in all. Glory to God. Amen. No denominations. Praise God. Just Christ, right?
Right.
Just Christ. So we see here, he says, listen, what's happening in the mind is we're accepting anger. Some of us are still holding stuff on other people and don't even realize it. We still hold grudges. And we've said, I forgive them, but we still hold a grudge. Believe me, that anger is alive. It's like an amoeba. And it hurts, and it will afflict the flesh. Anger, hatred. You know, these things are what hold us. The number one thing that really afflicts man, in fact, the number one thing, of course, we know is sin that causes whatever, sickness and disease, but anger in an individual, that's the number one thing the devil brings. Anger, wrath. And that's why he uses people to shoot at one another so that we can hold a grudge. Amen? So you've been afflicted, you've been forsaken, you've been wounded, you've been rejected, you've been all of these things. But you weren't rejected. You weren't forsaken. Just because man did it doesn't mean God did it.
Amen.
Far be it that God should forsake us and reject us. Amen? That's the one we got to be concerned about. Some of us were brought up abused, used physically and verbally. Some of us still haven't forgiven ourselves yet and things that we've done. You know? But we've got to let these things go. We've got to allow God, we've got to make confession to get rid of them. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. So we need to reset our mind on godly things of the Word. One of them is what? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Amen? No sickness, nor anger. When you know that it's there, you've got to come against it. That's our responsibility. Ecclesiastes 9. Oh, hallelujah. You know, when you're free of something, you're free.
Amen.
You understand that? You know, I grew up and I had a rough, as anyone else, my life was rough, you know. I had a mother that, you know, was rough on me, very rough. I was an abused kid. And when I got baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, and I made the choice to forgive my mother, no matter what happened to me and whatever, it was gone. And I asked God to give me the love for her. And you know, even when I talk about it, there's no remorse. There's no nothing. There's just love for her. I love her. Now she's not around. You know? But when you allow God to deal with it, and He removes it, see, I was free. I first made the choice to forgive her. And then I made the choice to let God deal with me in that area. And as I allowed Him to do that with me, He removed all the pain. He removed all the vengeance. He removed all, every bitter part of bitterness and everything towards it. And even when I talk about it, it doesn't bother me because I'm free. If you talk about something and it bothers you, you're not free. Does everybody get it? That's why we must allow God to deal with it. Why? Because we don't want any weapon formed against us to prosper. Because the devil wants to use something to hurt you. Now, okay, you're forgiven. Your sins are washed away. Well, he'll still use what's still there to afflict you in your flesh. Because those things do. Oh, hallelujah. So we need to have wisdom, don't we?
Amen.
Praise God. Now wisdom is what you, how you use the Word of God, how you use truth. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 16. Then I said, wisdom is what? Better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Words of the wise spoken quietly should be heard. rather than the shout of a ruler of fools. Wisdom is what? Better than what? Weapons of war. Wow. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. But one sinner destroys much good. Wisdom is using the truth for our behalf, and our, you know, for our benefit. In other words, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. If I'm taking that in my spirit, and the spirit of the Lord, believe me, when you begin to speak the words of the Lord in His written word, He's going to bring you to other places. When you start speaking, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, He's going to say, let's go there. Does everybody understand that? You're not going to just throw, no weapon formed against me can prosper. He's going to say, okay, let's go to this root and get rid of it so that it won't prosper. Hello? Okay. Go to Psalm 41. Psalm 41. Would you read it with me, starting at verse 1? Blessed is he who considers the poor. Let me share something with you. Many people are afraid to give. They're afraid to give. Yeah. They want to take care of their own business before they give. Yeah. Instead of giving to God. But look at the promises there. He says, blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in the time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed on the earth. Whoa. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. Amen. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness, and you will sustain him on his sick bed. It didn't mean that he wasn't afflicted with sickness. Believe me, when I was in the hospital, and a doctor came up to me and said, man, this man was about to die. I was laying in this bed in the emergency room, and this is the scripture I stood on right here. The Lord's going to sustain me. He's going to deliver me from this, even though I feel like I'm... I went in the emergency room because I refused. I was waiting for God to heal me. And He chose another route. So by the time I got in the emergency room, the place was packed. When they came and checked me, they took me ahead of everybody, put me on IVs right away, and started searching stuff for antibiotics to help, because they said I was going to die. And what I stood on was... And my wife was standing next to me, and there was another woman next to me in the hospital bed, in the emergency room. And what I stood on was, I kept saying to her, I've given to the poor, the Lord is going to deliver me. It's His promise. Blessed is he who considers the poor. Does everybody understand that?
Amen.
You stand on what you know. In other words, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper, even though I'm afflicted. I'm going to get through this because His promise says that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper because of what I've done according to His will. Now, you can't expect a weapon that's formed against you not to prosper if you're not doing His will. Does everybody get it? Then you're standing on thin air and not on the truth. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness, and he will sustain him on his sick bed. I said, Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my what? Which means mind, will, and what? Emotions. For I have sinned against you. Does everybody get it? You know, people get caught up in the fear of giving. They just want to receive all the time, but they're not willing to give. The fear of giving. Which actually is a representation of selfishness and greed. Amen? So we got to come against those things. No selfishness or greed formed against me is going to prosper. Amen? We've got to come against these things. You know, I had somebody say to me, I had a call today from an individual that left probably about a year ago. And he had some money in his savings account, which I wrote a check for him. It was only about 70 bucks or something. And he never showed up to pick it up. And he called today. And he said, hey, this, and whatever, I'm doing fine and whatever. And the Holy Spirit said to me, he's doing fine in his eyes because he's got a good job, he's got an apartment, but he's not in my will. He's not doing fine at all. He said, you know, whenever, and you know, would you mind if I came and got that check and whatever? I said, hey, you know what, man? You know what I do when I need money? He said, what? I said, I sow to the kingdom of God. Yeah, well, all of a sudden somebody by to get the money. And he sent his mother by to get the money. But it was like, whoa. That man is out there. Boasting how great he's doing. He's blinded, deceived, and every weapon formed against him is prospering. Amen? Fear of giving. Oh, hallelujah. In Proverbs 19, and verse 15, would you read it with me? Proverbs 19, verse 15. Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. He who keeps a commandment keeps his what?
Soul.
But he who is careless of his ways will what? Ouch. Ouch. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, praise God. And he will pay back what he has given. Hallelujah. It says, chasing your son while there is hope. Some of us come for counsel and get a little chasing while it's hope. And do not set your heart on his destruction. Hallelujah. Come on, let's keep. A man of great wrath will suffer what?
Punishment.
For if you rescue him, you will have to do it again and again and again and again. Listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. Oh, hallelujah. That's some people just don't want to accept it, you know. Laziness is the number one thing, too. People want to be lazy. Won't listen to counsel. Those are called weapons of evil. In Proverbs 28. Praise God. Verse 24. Whoever robs his father or his mother and says it's no transgression is a bonehead. No. The same is his companion to a what?
Destroyer.
He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will what?
Be delivered.
And of course, he who gives to the poor will not lack. But he who hides his eyes will have many
curses.
Pride is a weapon of evil. No pride formed against me shall prosper. Hello? Second Timothy chapter 3. Verses 1 through 5, would you read it with me, please? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. It's phenomenal. You know what it says, headstrong? Do you ever hear people say, well, I'm really strong-willed? No, you're just headstrong, man. That's it. Just headstrong. Well, I'm very strong-willed. Well, you need to break that, man. That's because that's pride. That's a hardened heart. It says, for this sort are those who creep into households and ministries and make captives and gullibles of gullible men and women and babies loaded down with sins and led away by various lusts. They're always learning and 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 going to every function, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth that they would be free because the weapons of evil are forming against them, wanting to do one's will instead of God's. In James 4. Is everybody all right?
Yes.
Praise God. What a wonderful way to start off a new year, huh?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Just don't forget, the church is going to expound greatly. You want to be a part of it? James 4. In verse 3 and 4. Would you read it? Somewhere around there, James 3. Yeah, James chapter 4 and verse 3. You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers, adulteresses. Do you not know that what? Friendship with the world is enmity with God, which means hatred. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself a what? Ooh. So the weapons of evil cause us to become friends of the world. And if you become a friend of the world, you become an enemy of God. And the weapons that are formed against you are going to prosper. In chapter 5 of James, in verse 13, it says, is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Hallelujah. Come on, man. You're going through something? Start praying. Don't run to the phone. Go to the throne. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is any cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he'll be forgiven. So what we must do is what? Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So we must confess our sin. How many times did the devil say, man, you know, that's all right. You're all right. God knows your heart. And you know what's happening? A weapon formed against you is beginning to prosper because I'm not allowing the confession. Does everybody understand that? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. A couple more scriptures and we're done. Corinthians chapter 11. Now, Paul is writing to the church of Corinth and he's explaining about the communion. In verse 23 says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in what? In an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now understand this. This is a representation, and I use this scripture to express the importance of if there are things that you're harboring, it's going to be manifested in your flesh. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many our sleep or die. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Amen? We would not be judged. So understand, if there's things that you and I are harboring, then weapons formed against us are prospering. That doesn't mean that you and I are not going to go through afflictions. Does everybody understand? It doesn't mean that we're not going to get sick, but God's going to deliver us. But sometimes people bring on their own sickness by harboring things like stress, anxiety, fear, anger, rage, and hatred. Those things are harboring themselves in us. Sometimes people aren't getting healed in certain areas because they're still holding grudges or whatever it may be. But we must allow God to deal with us. Amen? Because we could be harboring stuff in our body, and next thing you know, we're hurting in this place and in that place, and it's constant, and there's constant pain, or there's sickness, we can never get over it, whatever, this, that, whatever. You know, but the world's going to try and put blame on everything else of the physical. But we're spirits. I'm not going to go all the way there. 1 Peter chapter 5. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 5. Six through nine. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may what? Exalt you in due time. In other words, we got to be humble. Casting your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can what?
Devour.
Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So don't sweat it. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Just go through it.
Amen.
Amen? In other words, humble, submit, surrender to his will. In 1 Samuel 17. Oh, to God be the glory. 1 Samuel 17. Verse 43. This is the testimony of David and Goliath. I used to like that cartoon with the dog and that thing.
Hi, Davey.
You know?
Davey.
It still comes on?
Yeah.
Praise God. 45? What time?
Davey. What time you on, Davey?
Hallelujah. Verse 43. David and Goliath. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give you your flesh, give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled, because no weapon formed against me will prosper. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I'll give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Then all of this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So it was when the Philistine arose and came near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He didn't run from him. And David put his hand in his pot, in his bag, took out a stone, and slung it and struck the Philistine right between the eyes, man. So that the stone struck him in his forehead, and he fell down on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling, and the stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Hallelujah. It's called the sword of the Spirit. 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll close here. So we want to be a bunch of Davids, don't we?
Amen.
Praise God. You know, I got this powerful robe for Christmas, you know? And it's great, man. I love it. And I put it on the other night, and I came out like a boxer. And I sat in this corner, lightweight champion of the world, little David. You know, praise God. No weapon formed against us is going to prosper. Right? Man, we can have fun. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse. I know Wade's here. I can hear him back there somewhere. Praise God. In verse 2, chapter 1 and verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the what? Knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus. And His divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through what? Lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue to virtue, knowledge to knowledge, self-control to self-control, perseverance to perseverance, godliness to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because no weapon formed against you will prosper.
Amen.
For he who lacks these things is a bonehead. He's short-sighted, blinded, has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins and is a new creation in Christ and that old things have passed away. He's forgotten that no weapon formed against him is going to prosper unless he allows it. He's forgotten that the shadow of the world will take him under and deceive him and blind him. He's forgotten where he came from and what God has done and what God wants him to finish. He has forgotten where he stands. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never what?
Stumble.
You'll never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that surely I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you will always have a reminder of these things after my decease. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to Him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And we heard this, which came from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but the holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, that no weapon formed against you will prosper. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen and hallelujah.